The Gates of Troy by Glyn Illith. Read by Charles Armstrong for Saga Egmont. Book 1. Chapter 1. Unwelcome Visitors. Odysseus, king of Ithaca, lay on his stomach amongst a clump of fern. Leaves and twigs were tangled in his thick red-brown beard, and his face and hands were smeared with earth so that only the whites of his eyes were visible in the undergrowth. He remained perfectly still and silent as he looked down the slope towards a clearing in the dense woodland, where 2 dozen men sat around a large fire and ate stew from wooden bowls. Their features were grey and blurred in the twilight, but it was clear from their armaments and the sound of their heavily accented voices that they were not Ithacans. "That's them, Eperitus," Odysseus whispered, nodding decisively. "They're not a hunting party or a group of woodsmen. They're the bandits we're looking for. Can you hear what they're saying?" Eperitus, captain of Odysseus's guard, lay shoulder to shoulder with the king. "Most of it," he replied, turning an ear towards the circle of men. Despite the distance, his acute hearing, which, like the rest of his god-gifted senses, was unnaturally sharp, could easily pick out the words of their conversation. "Something about a troop of dancing girls and, well, you can probably guess the rest." A roar of harsh laughter broke out below them. "They met the girls in Pylos, but from their accents it sounds like they're Thessalians." "Then they've a long journey back home," Odysseus said, watching the men thoughtfully and tapping at his teeth with a nail-bitten forefinger. Eperitus scratched at his closely cropped black beard. "The problem is, we were told there were 6 of them, not 4 times that amount, and we've only brought 20 men with us." Odysseus leaned his large, muscular torso to one side and looked at his old friend, a glimmer of playful mockery in his green eyes. "When we landed on Samos yesterday morning, you told me you were itching for a fight. In fact, hardly a month's gone by in the past 10 years when you haven't reminisced about the old days or long for a proper battle to come along. Now the opportunity's arrived. All you can do is complain." Eperitus screwed his lips to one side and fixed his eyes on the camp below. Even though he knew Odysseus was poking fun at him, the king's words still stung. No other man on Ithaca, not even Odysseus himself, desired glory in battle as much as he did. The islanders were simple folk whose happiness was found in their homes and families, but Eperitus was an exile from a distant city who'd never lost the unsettling need to prove himself. It drove everything he did, and though he had long since earned his place amongst the Ithacans, he struggled to share their contentment. The handful of skirmishes he'd fought in the past few years had left him hungry for a real chance of glory, and it was not until the news that a large group of bandits were terrorizing Samos, the neighboring island to Ithaca, that he'd realized how deep that hunger had eaten into him. "I'm not complaining," he replied. "I'm a warrior, and a warrior wants nothing more than to kill his enemies. It's just that you're the king, Odysseus, and I'm sworn to protect you. Zeus's beard. If we take these lads on, as we are, there's a good chance they'll win and you'll be killed. And just look at them. I thought brigands were supposed to be armed with daggers and rusty swords, not breastplates, shields and spears." He pointed to the weapons piled against the mouth of a cave at the back of the clearing, and then at the armour worn by each man, and the long swords hanging from their belts. Both he and Odysseus knew that the men who'd been robbing the people of Samos were not a band of disorganised thugs, stealing at need and fleeing back into the woods. They were soldiers, turned to common robbery for survival in a country where peace had reigned for a decade. They'd arrived from the Peloponnese by ship several days before, and if they were allowed to establish themselves on Samos, they would not only continue to threaten the welfare of the islanders, they would soon pose a challenge to Odysseus's own power and authority. "Well, we need to deal with them," the king said resolutely. "And I can't wait for more of the guard to be fetched from Ithaca. We have to defeat them here and now with the men we've got." "What about Penelope?" Eperitus responded, noticing the look in Odysseus's eye at the mention of his beloved wife. "She's 3 weeks away from giving birth to your first child, the child you've been trying for ever since you were married. This isn't the time to go risking your life." "I love my wife," Odysseus said, simply but seriously, "and no pack of outlaws is going to prevent me from returning home to her. But a king who isn't prepared to risk his life for his people isn't worthy of the title, and for the sake of my unborn son, I have to live up to who I am." Eperitus looked at his friend and knew he had spoken truly. "Well, everything's not far away," he sighed, glancing up at the azure sky through the canopy of budding branches overhead.